On behalf of the Apostolic Lutheran Church of Seattle, we welcome everyone this evening to our National Day of Prayer. National Day of Prayer was started in 1952 by the U.S. President at the time, Harry S. Truman. It has been a time recognized on the first Thursday of May pretty much since. The theme this year comes from the Gospel of John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Tonight, all of us are privileged to worship God in songs, readings of Scripture, and prayer as we solicit the Lord's help for our nation and the nations of the world. Let us begin this evening with the singing of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
When we deal with unexpected circumstances, we can still find our hearts rejoicing in the fact that we have a good God who takes care of us. I will read excerpts from Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings, my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou encompassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand of the sea. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Psalm 92, 1 through 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness every morning and every faithful every night.
Fortress is our God, our trusty shield and weapon. He helps us in our every need, that hath us now o'ertaken. The all malignant foe means us deadly woe. Deep guile and cruel might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye who this may be. Christ Jesus it is he. As Lord of hosts adored, only King and Lord, he holds the field forever. The devils of the world should feel all watching to devour us. We tremble not, we fear no ill. They cannot overpower us. For this world's prince may still scowl fiercely as he will. We need not be alarmed, for he is now disarmed. One little word o'erthrows him. Oh, they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain, with his good gifts from Spirit. Take they then what they will, life goods, yea, all and still, in one their worst is done, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth.
Shall we pray and give thanks? Dear Father in heaven, dear Almighty God, dear the way, the truth, and the life, we begin this time of prayer by reaffirming our love for you and our dedication to you. Thank you for our country. Thank you for our Constitution. Thank you for our heritage of freedom. Thank you for those who have served our country in uniform so that we could enjoy freedom. Lord, we ask that you would abundantly bless each serviceman and woman, each veteran and each military family, past and present. Their sacrifice inspires us. Lord, we feel such sadness as we look at the direction of our country is going. We see the lack of respect for you. We see the immorality. We have removed you from our public and private places, squandered your gifts, and broken your laws of love. We see the strife and the division that is growing in our country. We realize that our country needs prayer and to know the power of your love. We pray that all would begin to yearn for the love, forgiveness, and wisdom that only you may bring, Lord. We ask that you would stir each of our leaders to sincerely seek you, to make wise, godly decisions that would benefit the people of our country. Lord, today as we seek to honor you and to pray for our country, we ask you to forgive our country for often turning our back on your principles. Forgive us as a country and forgive us as individuals. Lord, we have all taken our country and you for granted, and we have all fallen short of your wisdom, love, and mercy, which is presented in your word. Give our country new harmony and unity with you and with each other. Stir us to walk in wisdom, in integrity, and in love toward you and each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. So have we already have heard that the verse for today, the National Day of Prayer, is John 13:34, which says, "Love one another just as I have loved you, love one another." I thought to even talk about this here command from the Lord, we must start with the middle part of the statement first, "just as I have loved you." It is an important part of the sentence because of what we read in the scriptures, that God is love. In our hymnal, there's a song, and it's a song that Gerald will be singing here next after this, called "The Love of God." It was written in 1917, the first two verses of it, by Frederick Lehman. It goes, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." Have you ever thought of the words of these songs that we sing? Just look at the words of the first sentence. God's love is greater than tongue or pen can ever tell. When I thought about it, I began to wonder why I thought I could even begin to talk about his love. Then I remembered a quote from the late Billy Graham, which says, "God's love passes knowledge. Until you actually experience it, no one can describe it to you." By God's grace, I have experienced it. Can I then explain it to you? I can tell you about it in the Easter story and tell you that I know for certain that it was for me, that my Savior came to earth to die for my sins. Another song written by Dottie Humbo said, "He left the splendor of glory, knowing his destiny, was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this, if that isn't love." The second part of Billy Graham's quote gives us the assurance that, quote, "Never forget, God's love for you can never be exhausted, for his love is beyond measure," end quote. Much the same words to the chorus of the song quoted at the beginning, which says, "O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and pure. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song." Then let us go on to the rest of the theme of this National Day of Prayer, love one another. Why is this important? Verse 24 says, "To love one another just as I have loved you, love one another." Then verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Is this an easy command to follow? The ability to love one another can only come from God. We can say that we love one another, we can shout it from the treetops, but if we do not show it in action, it is quickly seen as false by those who do not know the love of God abiding in their hearts. Anna Hope acknowledges this in her prayer-like song, which says, "O Father mine, whose mercies never cease, whose bounties toward thy children e'er increase, create in me a heart whose tender love reflects thine own, thou gracious God above." She then goes on to tell of her realization of the tender love that we need to have towards God, and then shown to others, when she says, "As thou for Jesus' sake forgavest me, so fill my heart with tender love for thee, that I condemn not others, but forgive, and live as thou, O God, wouldst have me live." In the third verse she says, "Let me not judge, O Father, keep my tongue. From evil let no heart with sadness wrung." In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 21 and 22, it is written, "Also take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee," which actually is to speak evil of you. "For oftentimes thine own heart knoweth that thyself has likewise often cursed others." In the book written by Charles Spurgeon, he wrote a chapter which is titled, "The Blind Eye and the Deaf Ear." In that chapter, he gave wise counsels to Christians by saying that we should sometimes, if not often, simply overlook unkind things others say and do. We would not want to be judged by our worst moments. We should not judge others by theirs. The last verse of this song really defines the verse that is the theme of today. As thou dost every perfect gift bestow, so let me live that other hearts may know thy never-ceasing bounties and confess, O Lord, in love and thankfulness. In closing, I would like to close with the third verse of the song, The Love of God, which was written by a different man than the first two verses. It was written by Robbie Meyer in the year 1096 in Worms, Germany. And it says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and where the skies were parchment made, where every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. We'll listen to Gerald sing now the same song.
Is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bound down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones in kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure will still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O Lord of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich. rich and pure, how measureless and strong it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
I will be reading Luke 10:25 verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise.
This evening I've chosen to read a bulletin that was prepared by my dad in the 1990s for a publication here at within our congregation. And it's titled, A Free People. For more than 200 years, the citizens of our country have been blessed with great political freedom. The flags seen flying on front porches and in public places around the nation testify silently to this freedom, symbolizing our Constitution and way of life. They bring to mind a remarkable chain of historical events and the less tangible promise of political liberty. From the Revolutionary Declaration of Independence, whose words are still borrowed by peoples fighting for their freedoms, to the Articles of Confederation, the world's first written constitution of national government, and finally in the ratification of our present-day constitution, a document unparalleled in its time and still unique, as we Americans have a remarkable heritage of liberty. The men who signed the Declaration of Independence knew they were risking their lives by associating their names with the treasonable document. The patriots who fought the British challenged the world's strongest power. Later, the framers of the Constitution had no way of knowing whether the document they drew up would successfully protect both security and liberty. But God blessed our nation, and we stand where we do today. When settlers came to the new land, freedom of worship was one of their chief goals. It is our responsibility as Christians to pray for the leaders of our government so that we may continue to lead quiet and peaceable lives in godliness and honesty, as stated in 1 Timothy 2:2. A symbol such as the flag helps us remember this. It embodies more than meaning than we can express with words. But as Christians, we have a heritage even greater than this in Christ, a freedom that doesn't need the protection of documents that we know is sure and that will last in eternity. The symbol of this spiritual freedom is the cross. It represents the redemptive work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross represents not only his crucifixion, but his entire ministry, beginning with the virgin birth and concluding with the ascension into heaven. In the preaching of the cross, we see the gospel message in its entirety, as the Apostle Paul expressed in his letter to Corinthians. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which be saved, it is the power of God. Jesus came to free us from the bondage of unbelief and to loose us from the bands of sin. Jesus says to each of us today, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's a statement from John 8:31-32. And then in closing, I found this prayer by Thomas Jefferson. It was in some of my dad's documents as well, and it is titled A National Prayer for Peace, and it was dated March 4th, 1805, and it goes like this. Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we may always provide ourselves a people, mindful of thy favor and glad to do thy will. Bless our land with honorable ministry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitude brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. Endow with thy spirit of wisdom those to whom thy name, and in thy name we trust the authority of government. That there may be justice and peace at home, and through that obedience to thy law, that we may show forth thy praise among the nations of the earth. In time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in thee to fail, all of which we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share. as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth, in heaven, in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his power as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. I'm
constantly amazed at how when we speak God's word, since it's truth, it all marries together and just blends together. So today I've actually chosen to read two devotionals from Roy Lesson, and it's out of his book, Today is Your Best Day. So you'll hear that theme a little bit through these devotionals. So today is your best day because you serve the Lord. You have so much to rejoice in today, so much to be glad for, so much to give praise for, so much for your faith to celebrate. Today, you have the awesome opportunity to serve the Lord. Think of it. The God who is majestic, all-powerful, altogether lovely, and altogether worthy wants you to reach out and to touch others for his glory. From his high and holy place, he works through the lowly place of your heart to touch the hearts of those who are in need of revelation of his love. Isaiah 57:15 declares, "The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, the Holy One says this, I live in that high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts." As God's servant, you are in his hands as he conforms and transforms you into his image. In his hands, your life is the voice that speaks his words to those who need to know the truth, the hand that extends his love and mercies to those who are hurting, the example that demonstrates his kingdom to those who need to know the way. Today, you have been given the awesome privilege of being used by him and living for him as you serve him in your God-given place. Today, you are the bondservant of the righteous master, the ambassador of the great king, and the messenger of the eternal word. As his servant, you live for his approval, look for his smile, and labor for his glory. Your eyes are fixed on his face, your heart is fixed upon his will, your ears are fixed upon his voice, and your life is fixed upon his pleasure. Your deepest motivation is not duty or obligation, but love. All that you do for love's sake. Your yes to his will is an obedience of love. Your work is a labor of love. Your praise is an offering of love. Your giving is an extension of love. And your worship is an expression of the love that comes from the deepest part of who you are. And the second devotion follows theme, today is your best day because of love. And it says, God is love, and his love is the best kind of love you can have in your heart. The beautiful thing about God's love is that it's a giving love, a love that flows in abundance with kindness and generosity and goodness. It is a love that embraces and does not push away. It is a love that restores, mends, and heals. It is a love of compassion, goodwill, and tender care. The love that God has poured into you is also the love that he wants you to pour out through you. Today is your best day because you have the awesome privilege and opportunity to give his love away to other people. The love that you are able to give to others is not something that you make up or pretend to have. You are not the source of the love that you can give away. God is the source. God's love is not received into your life through study or good works. His love is yours because the Holy Spirit has come into your heart. The Holy Spirit has come to live in you like a river, not a lake. A river flows and moves freely. A lake sits and goes nowhere. A river reaches out to new places and nourishes new ground. A lake is self-contained and becomes stagnant. The love of God in you first comes to bless and enrich your life, but in its course to flow out from you, from within you, to touch and enrich others' hearts. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading of love in your life today. Count upon his love, lean upon his love, and draw upon his love to be the source of God's love through you. It may be expressed through a prayer you offer, a word you speak, an embrace you extend, through the kindness you perform, or even through a smile you give.
Jesus is a shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus is a shine, first of all, for him. Well, he sees and knows it if our light is dim. He looks down from heaven, sees us shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine then for all around. Many kinds of darkness in this world abound. Sin and want and sorrow, we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine as we work for him, bringing those that wander from the paths of sin. He will ever help us if we shine. You in your small corner and I in mine.
If you're following along in the program, the next line beneath the cross of Jesus with vocalist. Well, I'm not that vocalist. We're going to skip that particular portion. I'm going to read the national prayer for 2019. In Jesus' name. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we look to you alone for the future of America. By your providence, you have placed each of us here at this time in history to be in this nation. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for America. But above all, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It is in his name we come to you as we intercede in prayer for America. Forgive us, O Lord, for the sins we have committed against you in America. We are failing you by dishonoring one another through our harsh and bitter words about each other. We are failing you through broken relationships. We are failing you by devaluing human life from conception unto death. We are failing you with the division of our nation. Lord, we turn from these sinful actions and refuse to live this way. Please forgive us now and help us to choose love over hate, unity over division, and life over death. We choose to live by Jesus' words, love one another. Therefore, upon the authority of your word in John 13:34, love one another just as I have loved you. We pray for a future America that will choose to live willfully, sacrificially, and unconditionally, just like Jesus loves us. We pray for the church in America to love one another, empower each church to be full of love for one another, ignite a revival of love for one another. Since we are to be known by our love, help us to love one another. We pray for every family, every workplace, every community, and every city in America to choose love. We believe there is power in love. We believe love is the better way. We believe love is God's way. O Lord, change families, workplaces, communities, and cities through the power of love. Raise up a love one another movement across America. We pray for all ethnicities and people in America to love one another. Lord, tear down every wall of division and change any attitude that divides us today. Bind up our nation's wounds, and may the transforming love of God lead us to the day when justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. We pray for your love to surround America. We pray for your love to surround and protect us in every public setting and private place. Protect us from harm. We believe all these things, O Lord, represent our deep need for the next great move of God across America. We ask you alone for the next great spiritual awakening in America. Please, O God, wake up your church and revive your people today. We ask you to begin a mighty spiritual awakening in every town, every city, and every county in America. We need and desire this so much that beginning right now, we are choosing love and forgiveness, love and restitution, love and healing, love and unity, and a future that will be transformed by the power of unconditional love. When we belong to you, we belong to love. We choose to love one another. Amen. Thank you all for coming this evening, and for those that participated, and thank you for putting it together, Maya. We're going to close with a couple of minutes here of silent prayer and reflection, and then after that time is up, then Karen will begin playing the last song that we're going to sing. It's number 711 from the supplemental songbook. And after that, there is coffee and refreshment served downstairs to continue fellowship.